Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks podcast, the show that brings you tidbits from all aspects of the soccer world. Now, here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
Welcome to another edition of the Two Daft Yanks podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and joining me as always is my co-host, Mr. Corey Chatelain.
Man, just when I think this season couldn't get more interesting, we have another delicious plate of Chelsea Schadenfreude where Mourinho gets stuck in the West Ham director's box looking lost and morose and just getting kicked out of the restroom. I love it. This stuff is it's better than a trophy.
Schadenfreude is the new trophy.
Exactly. I thought spending money was great. Schadenfreude is even better.
All right, folks. Welcome to the special edition of the Two Daft Yanks podcast. As you can see from the revised intro, this is a Halloween episode, and we will try to work in the Halloween theme as much as we can, and you'll be able to catch on. And I think we're going to end. I'm really excited for the end of the podcast because we are going to cover a topic that I've never heard anybody in the American media ever cover.
Well, yeah, you can barely get the U.S. soccer media to cover soccer, much less a soccer event like this.
Okay, so stay tuned. A Halloween-themed, like legit Halloween-themed soccer event that took place some years ago, and we will break that down for y'all. So let's get the Halloween crowd fired up, and let's get going. So first of all, let's just shout out to our friends over at Low Limit Football. We did a nice dual podcast with them yesterday for hashtag Decision Day.
Yeah, it was nice of them to let us come over and let me fake knowing about the MLS for about an hour and a half.
So yeah, actually for talking MLS, it wasn't too terrible.
Yeah, well, MLS aside, it's always fun to speak with other, to use proper English, other knowledgeable soccer fans like ourselves.
That is right. So that podcast is up on our website. You can see it below this one here that you're listening to. And then you could head over to lowlimitfootball.com as well and get the podcast there. And you could check out their show that they run live on Monday nights at, I do believe, 6 o'clock Eastern time. So always a good time to talk with them. But hey, that is in the past, and now let's move into the future with this show. Sound good?
Sure.
All right. Okay, let's start with it here, Corey. West Ham 2, Chelsea 1, and a thriller.
That it was. I was kind of sleeping through the first half. You know, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just hit the DVR, go back to bed. And then the match roars into life when Matic gets sent off. And, you know, and of course, anytime there's a red card, when my team's not playing, I'm all about the chaos and madness. So when that happened, I was like, oh, okay, I'm up. Now I'm up. Put the coffee on. Give me slabs of bacon. I'm up.
Slabs of bacon cause cancer, if you haven't heard that announced today.
Well, unfortunately for me, they taste good as well, so.
Okay, that is very true. That's like the Arby's commercial. Bacon is a gift that pigs give to you if you're really nice or something like that.
That is right. That's one of the truest sayings ever.
So, but to get to the Halloween theme rolling already, I guess the highlight for me, and this was evident in the opening seconds of the West Ham-Chelsea match, was who I'm going to call the West Ham Banshee that you could hear through the entirety of the match.
Oh, it was as good of a spectacle that Arsblog cursing on NBC during the Arsenal-Everton match last year was. West Ham Banshee lady took it to another level because not only was she over-the-top annoying, you know, drowning out the mics and at times the announcers, but she was so incoherently cockney. It was awesome.
Yeah. There's times where I wasn't really sure if she was happy or sad.
Yeah. No, that's both at the same time. I had no idea what she was saying other than some kind of unintelligible, which I think the last was some sort of come on, but who knows?
Probably when the Mohican Warrior scored that game winning goal.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's got to be the closest thing the Cockneys have to like an ancient warrior yawp.
So the West Ham Banshee will go down in infamy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, because I'm pretty sure she personally and individually willed West Ham to victory.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, she would have been my man of the match. So
yeah, Banshee of the match.
That's right.
Okay, so a little we'll focus on West Ham here. A quick thought from you. Through 10 games so far this season, they have 20 points, and that is now their best start in the history of their involvement in the Barclays Premier League. So I know they stayed up into the, you know, the top five of the table until January last season. Do you think this West Ham side has a better chance to stay in the upper echelons of the table longer than last year's edition?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to be a little weasel and kind of split the fence because I'm not sure, because I don't know too much about Slaven Bilic other than his playing days. Kind of like when we talked on the manager show. I don't really know too much about his managerial style, so. You know, I mean, obviously the data's out there. I don't really know it that well, so I'm going to kind of have to split the difference and go, I'm not sure, but like most things with the EPL, you know, come holiday period and how the club handles that, I'd be more willing to give a more definitive answer then. I've seen them several times so far this year, and they've been impressive pretty much every time I've seen them.
And again, really what it comes down to and what hurt them last year is going to come down to depth, that they have a couple of injuries. Again, that holiday time forces you to rotate. And I think they have a better squad talent-wise. Maybe the starting 11's better, but I'm not so sure if they have a quality enough bench to be able to keep pace with some of the bigger sides out there.
Well, but with that said, I think they have enough quality now to where – they can maybe have Andy Carroll on the bench, you know, for the foreseeable future and actually let him get his fitness issues, get them straight and, you know, not have to force him back into the lineup. Kind of like, you know, the clubs that he's played for has done in the past, so that, you know, they have enough quality now that maybe they can kind of use him as, you know, the proverbial super sub and let him get his fitness issues, more settled.
You make a very good point. And yeah, really, they don't have to rush him back. And that's what's happened a few times. They rush him back from injuries and then he gets injured again.
Yeah. And especially with, if all the off field rumors of him liking the party so much are true, then, you know, obviously that's going to be part of his fitness problems, as long as he does that. But like I said, being on the bench, I think that may be, you know, a really good role for him in the foreseeable future.
All right, let's ditch this talk and let's get to the Schadenfreude.
Yes.
So fill me in.
One of the best pictures ever taken.
Would be Sad Mourinho in the box.
Yeah, Sad Mourinho square in the middle of all the West Ham, all the people in the West Ham director's box going mental. And there he is in the back, square in the middle, looking like the sad little boy that just got his heart crushed. Kind of like, I'm not sure what to do. Where's the exit? And it's just one of the greatest pictures ever taken.
The only thing that was missing was him hunched over some pizza. If you remember that reference.
Yeah, I forgot.
You're drawing a blank. How about Bad Herbs? At Ohio State after they lost that bowl game?
Oh, yeah. Yes, where he had the one of his many attacks of the death indigestion.
Yes. So, no, there was no pizza to console or not console, one Jose Mourinho, who was supposedly kicked out of the match at halftime in the tunnel. Now, the reports, I don't know if it's been out there yet, but some reports say that he tried to enter the referee's room, and that's why he got kicked out. And some say that he used abusive language to the referees in the tunnel. I don't know if we have a clear picture or yet. Have you
heard
anything definitive?
No, because I heard this afternoon that there was even a possibility that he was asked into the referee's room, which I find very hard to believe. But yeah, so that was the story. The last I heard it was that he was asked into the referee's room to be given a explanation, and then he lost it in the midst of that discussion. So, but yeah, like I said, I would be really surprised if any manager were to be asked into the referee's changing room in the middle of a match. I would lean towards the original story as of Saturday afternoon, where he tried to enter the ref's room of his own volition, because he's actually done that before when he was managing Chelsea, you know, in that famous match, you know, where the Barcelona was awarded the penalty, and you know, at the end there's that famous clip of Drogba, "No, you cheater," you know, where he's going mental at the camera. So I would be more
MLS product, Didier Drogba.
That was maybe outside chance MLS MVP Didier Drogba. Yeah. So when you have a trying to enter or entering the ref's room on your resume already, I'm leaning towards that as to what actually happened.
Okay. And we could probably bet that he'll actually be, in the next coming days, be suspended from managing at least for a game or two, because remember, they just a couple weeks ago, he was suspended, but it was I forget what they call it already. Or it was a suspended suspension.
Yeah. One game suspended ban.
Match ban. So I'd imagine that he'll pick up at least one, maybe two for these actions. I don't know. We'll see how much balls the FA has.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I read before I left work today that he was already charged by the FA. So
yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so that means he's got to go back to face him again. So I would imagine that suspended ban is now going to be an actual ban, and like you said, they're probably going to tack that on to whatever they're going to do.
Now, according to the papers, and you'll see that they've become more accurate recently, maybe because when it comes to managerial firings, maybe they're you know, pulling in the reins a little bit, so people think they're a little more believable. But the big rumors were if Sherwood didn't beat Swansea this weekend, he was out. That happened. He's out. And now you're already hearing that if Mourinho does not beat Liverpool this weekend, that he's going to be on his way out. So I think it's very possible that if he doesn't get a result this weekend, and there's a good chance he may not even be the manager. So how does that work? If he's not actually managing.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure, because what, don't they play in the League Cup tomorrow, Wednesday, against Stoke too?
Yes, League Cup is this weekend or this midweek. Correct.
Yes. So I was here, you know, I was reading stuff earlier today that even said that even though it's the League Cup, that the Stoke match might be critical to his survival. So who knows?
Yes, they are the defending League Cup champions, may we add.
Yeah, that's. I wonder if I wonder if the League Cup, because it's Tuesday and Wednesday, I wonder if they fast track the, you know, his charge as of today, or if it's going to be for the, or, you yeah. know, for the league match at the weekend.
Oh, I do hope they fast track it, so then he and Klopp can manage together. Just think of the media maelstrom that will happen then. Oh my goodness. Everybody in the media will be pawning.
Oh, yeah, you would have to. Yeah, some outlets would have to bring the Kleenex for their reporters.
And the normal one could end the special one's job and his reign at Chelsea. It would be just poetic.
Yeah, because the normal one is still looking for his first win. And how, you know, unlike the announcers, when they like to use the phrase, "You can't write scripts like this," well, here you go, announcers. I'm going to write the script. Klopp gets his first win against the special one.
Ooh, there we go. So, all right, to keep this Halloween theme going, we're going to do this through the remainder of the show for people who are major talking points. So with Halloween on the way, with Jose Mourinho in the situation he is, Corey, what do you recommend for him to show up as at the Chelsea Halloween party, or, you know, his neighborhood Halloween party, or his kids' Halloween party? I don't know. Whatever Halloween party he may show up to, what advice would you have costume-wise for Jose?
Theoretically speaking, if he had a sense of humor, which we know he doesn't, he should show up as the West Ham Banshee. But realistically, he should show up as Johnny Cochran, super defense lawyer, and that way he could get himself off.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Those are two solid ideas.
Yes. So
I'm not even going to try to ruin that.
Yeah. So, you know, if, you know, what's he, isn't he one who always wears like a trench coat type of thing? If the trench coat doesn't fit, Mourinho must be acquitted.
Well, his trench coat this weekend was a little too big, I thought. Little oversized. Yep.
Well, that's probably so he can slip out of it real easy in case he has finger-like zipper problems.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, he didn't button it. There was no zipper. It was a button-up trench coat.
Oh, he's one of those guys. Yes, yeah. The button-up. Ooh, classy.
Yeah, it is classy. So, all right, so let's all laugh at Chelsea. Yeah. We don't get to do it very often, so we have to get it in while we can, because chances are Mourinho is going to get sacked and they'll bring someone like Ancelotti in, and then they're going to start winning. And that's going to suck.
Or he's going to rip off 25 straight victories and win the Premier League anyway. So that's why I'm going to laugh now.
Yeah. Get your shots in early.
That's right.
All right. Let's move on to another game on Sunday. And we will highlight one person. We won't spend too long on this, but Tottenham Hotspur gave up a first-minute goal to Bournemouth. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, are you kidding me? But thankfully, thanks to the theatrics of one Polish keeper, Artur Boric, Tottenham came back and won the game 5-1. Boric had probably one of the worst games I've ever seen a keeper play. He gave away a penalty and then was directly responsible for two errors that led to goals. So three out of the five goals could be laid at his feet.
Yeah, when you make Manuel Almunia look like Gianluigi Buffon, you've had a pretty terrible day. And yet, Buruk definitely seems to be not only mistake-prone, but when he makes a mistake, it's so spectacularly bad. You would think that, you know, some Asian betting syndicate is paying his salary.
That's possible, I suppose. And yeah, he was just bad all around. He had probably another two or three errors that could have been goals that he got away with. I mean, he was just dropping everything that came to him. I mean, two of the Spurs goals were ridiculous. I don't know if you people have seen them. I mean, one, Lamela scored. He just basically had to kick it in from like a foot away. Same thing, Harry Kane scored a goal to where Boris just dropped it right in front of Harry Kane. Simple tap in. So when I'm surprised that he didn't get pulled from the game after probably the Lamela goal. You know, you give away a penalty and then you drop a ball right on the line. I don't know.
Yeah, a European manager's not going to pull a keeper.
Well, maybe he should.
Yeah, so you lose 3-1 instead of 5-1 and then you waste a sub? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but remember when we thought, hey, that was a pretty good signing there, Bournemouth. You got an experienced, pretty decent keeper. No. He's had a pretty bad season so far.
Yeah, and like I said, he's just – I've never seen a keeper that – like I said, when he makes a mistake, they're just spectacularly bad.
Okay, so if our good old pal Arter is going to a Halloween party this weekend, what is your suggestion for him, costume-wise?
A tattered screen door that's just been through a hurricane or a tornado.
Jeez.
Or Yeah, or Inspector Clouseau.
Oh, there we go. Well, I'm going to go with a werewolf because he had a howler.
Oh, hey-o.
This past weekend. Yeah.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to go like a pun, like where'd the ball go, wolf, or something.
Oh, no, where'd the ball go, wolf? No. A werewolf because he played a howler.
Whew, that he did.
That's right. Try the werewolf feel.
Yeah, well, you know, what's your favorite what's your favorite venue, Arthur? The Howlin' Wolf. What's your favorite musician? The Howlin' Wolf.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Let's move on from that. So there we go. So Arthur Borch, sorry. You do not win. You do not pass go. Go straight to jail. Do not collect $200. Well, maybe he did from that Asian betting syndicate. Maybe he did collect $200.
I hope it's more than 200 bucks.
Yeah, I know.
Because they're lowballing you, Arthur.
All right, we already alluded to this, but we'll keep going here. One Tim Sherwood was sacked shockingly over the weekend after his loss.
Color me shocked.
Of course, he was smug as all can be after the match, still calling out his players, saying that they're no good, saying the coaches can't do anything any better than they already have been. And this is why Tim Sherwood is a disaster of a manager. He was perfect for him last year. You know, you need the passion to stay up, and he did that. But as both of us have said, anybody that would hire this guy long term would have to know that his stick wouldn't last a full season. And now 10 games into this season, it's sayonara Sherwood.
Yeah. I mean, he should have quit while he was ahead when he had his winning percentage that was second to none. And that way he could have lorded it over people forever and go, oh, well, I got the greatest winning percentage ever. Well, why don't you test it out? Because I don't want to. But yeah, like you said, he's just, you know, that bit of, you know, the kind of, I don't want to say mad genius, but I'm not sure the right term, but that whole kind of like that passion, you know, kind of lad boy type of thing. It just it's just not going to play, you know, over the course of a full season, which we just saw. And like you said, yeah, it was great. You know, that kind of, let's just call it for what it is. The dude's a nutter. That kind of nutter, you know, throw caution to the wind thing is great when you're in a relegation battle because, yeah, theoretically you don't have anything to lose because everybody's probably either getting fired or getting sold off anyway. But, you know, that whole, you know, caution to the wind thing, just say, you know, Villa's a big club. They've been struggling in recent years. So, you know, the recent status of the club, that stuff just isn't going to play over the course of a season, which we just saw.
Oh, no doubt. And something that really surprises me, I don't know, I watched Match of the Day, and the two Robbies were both, they said they felt sorry for him. And that he deserved more time. And I'm like, what are you? I don't understand why anybody would have that. And the biggest point they made was, oh, it's not fair because he's a young manager. And these young managers don't get time to, you know, get through these rough patches. And now, listen, this is the funniest part. And they're like, well, now he's going to have to go to the lower leagues to cut his teeth. Well, that's what he should have done in the first place. But he was handed two Premier League jobs based off the fact that he could talk.
Yeah, I was going to say he was basically punching above his weight because, you know, he's English and everybody liked the way he basically smooth-talked everybody. So heaven forbid you actually have to go down in the lower leagues and actually learn your craft. Oh, what a tragedy.
Yeah, and I don't even know if he even has his coaching badges yet. Well, remember, he got two Premier League jobs without having coaching badges.
But that's what I'm saying. Heaven forbid you have to drop down to a lower level and actually learn your craft. Oh, my God. What a tragedy.
Exactly. And that's how a lot of managers do it, right?
Pretty much. I mean, he was basically, like I said, he basically you know, he's the guy who comes up to in the bar and sweet talks the hot chick. And then when the hot chick wakes up in the morning after sleep with the guy, she looks, you know, looks over the guy. Yeah, this guy's hot and he sweet talked me. He's in the freaking idiot though. That's Tim Sherwood. He's going to talk your pants off, but in a long-term relationship, he's a freaking idiot.
There we go. All right. Halloween costume ideas for him.
Well, I think Sherwood's so arrogant he would go as himself.
There we go. That deserves a laugh.
But yeah, the obvious one, you know, stealing the meme from English Twitter, Sherwood's going to go as a frickin' gooner. Oh!
Because he is one. Yeah, that's right. He has more time. Now he could go watch his favorite club play.
That's right. He's more time to show up at the Emirates, learn
his
some
family
football.
His father's got season tickets, he bragged, as a Spurs manager. Can you imagine that? As Spurs manager. Oh, yeah. My family, we still got season tickets to Arsenal. We should have fired him right then and there.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. Right there, you know he's a freaking nut job. Because even if that's true, you don't admit to that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I got a good costume idea for him. You ready for this?
Sure.
He should go as James Dean. You know why?
Because he's a rebel without a cause.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Although it's more like a rebel without a clue.
Sherwood is a rebel without a cause. When right now he's a manager without a club.
Yeah.
God forbid the lower league team that hires him. Don't do it. Actually do, because it'll be really entertaining then.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't even go to Bournemouth and do the Harry Redknapp route because they're in the freaking Premier League.
Yeah, I know. Maybe you could go to Portsmouth and bankrupt them again.
Well, Portsmouth doesn't want any. You know, doesn't want them. They're battling for the League Two title right now.
Yeah, well, oh, that's true. They probably. So we'll see if he ends up anywhere. I don't think he will. You'd have to be pretty stupid to hire him at this point in time. I don't know, but you never know.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's going to get a job for a while because I think he's arrogant enough that he's not going to take something lower league right away.
No, you're right. And he wouldn't. And that's why he was offered other jobs when he was let go at Spurs but didn't take them because he thought he was better. So that is right. He is very arrogant. Okay, very good. So now it's time for us to get back into the favorite segment of the show. The segment that gives the show its namesake. Are you ready to do this, Corey?
Of course. I'm always ready for the daftness.
Two Daft Yanks presents This Week in Daftness.
Braver than a matador in high heels in a pink tutu. Braver than a bullfighter with no knickers on.
How daft.
All right, and we have a very special This Week in Daftness this week. Can you hear that glorious music? Yes, boys and girls, it is the theme song of the most prestigious club competition in the world outside of the MLS Cup, of course, the UEFA Champions League. Listen to that beautiful choir. Listen to that beautiful music. Corey, what does this song make you feel?
Dude. Somebody Euro boo for me. I can't Euro boo.
What are you doing? Stop. Stop.
What? I thought Stop. I was a citizen for a second.
No, you're going to get us fined.
What do you mean, fined?
Fined, yeah. UEFA's freaking coming down with the hammer on people who do that song. We're going to have some lawyer letters coming our way, man.
Oh, man. Well, I guess UEFA's never going to play a Rock Band and get booed off the stage when they fail a song, then.
Well, that's true.
Or they're going to sue Harmonix if they do.
Oh, they might. That's very good. So if you haven't heard and the most absurd This Week in Daftness ever, Manchester City.
This is a pretty spectacularly stupid fine.
Is being charged by UEFA for their fans booing the Champions League anthem ahead of their victory over Sevilla last week. As you all know, The fans traditionally boo the Champions League because basically City doesn't care about the Champions League, and they don't like UEFA because they came down on them for the financial fair play stuff.
Which turned out to be a bunch of crap.
Yes, which then less than a year later, they pretty much scrapped it. So, yes, it is a bunch of BS. And so, of course, they're even more angry, and thus they boo the anthem. And now apparently the anthem is supposed to be so revered, and it's like a holy, angelic, and religious experience that they're showing Man City that you cannot boo the anthem. Your free speech, which you don't really have in England, but I think you could boo a song. They should sue UEFA. They would win, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this reeks of, oh, you're a club with money. Let's find a way to, you know, nickel and dime 50 grand out of you.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, it's the kind of thing that, you know, when you when a policeman causes an incident because he's being overbearing, and then they have the, you know, then they have the cheek to slap you with a resisting arrest kind of thing from an incident that they frickin' started.
Yeah, it'd be like a police officer smashing you over the head with a brick. And then you didn't know it's a police officer because the guy did it from behind, right? So you're just coming around swinging.
Right.
And then you get charged with, resisting arrest or some garbage. Or get
a battery on a police officer when he never identified himself as a police officer.
Yeah, there we go. I like that. Yeah, holy moly.
Yeah, so that's basically, oh, you don't like – you don't – you're going to boo us for fining you for our program that basically got found out to be the shit that it was. Oh, we're going to fine you anyway.
That's daft, man. It's so incredibly daft. We may have to end this segment because I can't think of anything that could ever top this. It is so inane.
Well, yeah, the only thing that would top this is everybody at FIFA getting exonerated for their bribery.
Well, you know, that's coming down the road too.
But that's what I'm saying. That would be the only thing, I think.
Yeah, well, you pay the U.S. government enough.
Well, yeah, there you go.
They might drop the case.
Well, yeah, and if Mourinho shows up as that prosecutor, you never know.
In his Jackie Childs costume.
That's right. Oh, yeah, I said, oh, yeah, see, that would have been better. Yeah, go as Jackie Childs, not Johnny Cochran.
Yeah. Oh, see, I thought you said Johnny Cochran, but yeah, Jackie Childs is better.
Yeah, well, Jackie Childs was based on Johnny Cochran. But Jackie Childs would be better because, it's more ridiculous.
Holy moly. So, yeah, this week in Daftness, booing. So that goes with the Halloween theme, boo ghosts.
Oh, yeah. See, now I got all kinds of stuff popping in my head. So you would have Mourinho. Now, listen, UEFA, you are weak and naive. Weak and naive. Find me for that, UEFA. Weak and naive.
For the boys and girls at UEFA who aren't in jail or suspended, any costume ideas for them?
I don't know. What do hypocrites wear?
I don't know. I guess, what would you wear as a hypocrite?
Costume.
Yeah, I don't know.
The simple one would be a toga since Hippocrates was Greek.
Ooh, there we go. Yes.
So whatever hypocrites wear, that should be their costume.
There you go. I think the toga works. That's a solid suggestion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even the laurel because in the laurel, like a symbol of integrity or something. So just to mock that integrity, wear the laurel leaf around.
Yes, but not a leaf. It'd be like $100 bills folded. Like
oh, yeah. See, that's even better. Yeah. There you go. $100 laurel. Headband. I like it. I like it.
Ah, see.
Yeah. Hippocrates of Zurich or wherever UEFA's based. There you go.
Oh, that's going to laugh. That deserves a laugh. I believe it does. If you're not laughing at home. Yeah.
Come on, fake digital audience.
That's funny.
I think even West Ham Banshee would have laughed at that.
Oh, she would have been like,
I want that as my ringtone. Somebody set that up for me. Or my text notification.
Oh, the West Ham Banshee. I wonder if someone has identified who it was. I'm going to do some digging.
Oh, yeah. So in this day and age, I'm sure it wouldn't take long if you really wanted to find out.
Dude, if we find out, I want her on the show. How great would that be?
That'd be all. I'm surprised. I don't know why I didn't even check. She's probably got her own Twitter account already.
I'm sure the West Ham Banshee. Yeah. If it doesn't, we're going to start it.
I mean, if the Purple Dildo's got his own account, I'm sure the West Ham Banshee's got her own account.
You know, that's right. Okay, well, we've gotten through all the lighthearted soccer stuff.
Yeah.
So let's get into the meat of this Halloween show and the meat of this Halloween topic.
All right. And as I said, drive time.
Yeah, and we're very excited for this because Corey and I are big into, I mean, we don't believe them, but we enjoy researching, you know, oddities, unexplained phenomenon,
cryptids and UFOs,
cryptids, you know, conspiracy theories. But this is truly a soccer one that probably many of you have not ever heard. So let's bring in some music to introduce this special segment. All right, and for those of you who ventured through the 90s like Corey and I did, you darn well know the theme song is playing right now. That is...
And they're bringing it back at some point.
That's it. It's the X-Files. Yes, January. It's going to be a limited run. I think like 6 new episodes of the X-Files starting in January 2016. So we're close to that. I'm excited. So the X-Files is there, and the truth is out there. So let's talk about this X-Files soccer story, Corey. Do you want to – I'll let you start the storytelling.
All right. 60 years ago, October 27th, 1954, Fiorentina was playing at the time its local rival. And forgive me if I butcher this, Italian people, Pistoiese. In Tuscany, and you know, 10,000 fans at the Stadio Artemi Franchi, and pretty much around halftime, there was this cigar-shaped object that had silver glitter showering everywhere that basically floated over the match. And yeah, so that's basically the gist of the story, or you know, the synopsis. So I'll kick it back to Chad.
There we go. So yes, I think several metallic objects actually were floating over the stadium, and it actually stopped the play to where the players on the field were looking up, and the ball was just sitting there. And the match official called the game because of, and I have the quote here, but let me find it. But let me find some more quotes. This is a great article that we have linked here on the site. So, and the truth is out there on the website in this blog. You can click that and you'll get this story about the day UFO stopped play. As Corey said, it happened October 27th. So this is the 26th. So it is 61 years ago. Tomorrow is the anniversary of this event. And we thought it'd be perfect for our Halloween show. The spectators were no longer watching the match, it said, but they were looking at the sky, fingers pointing as play came to a standstill. And here is a player named, Ardicio Maggini, who starred for Italy in the 1954 World Cup. He said, "I remember everything A to Z. It was something that looked like an egg that was moving slowly, slowly, slowly. Everyone was looking up, and also there was some glitter coming down from the sky, silver glitter. We were astonished. We had never seen anything like this before because we were absolutely shocked. And the stuff coming from the sky... Eyewitness reports, and there's pictures of this, they called it angel hair. It was this very fine strands of white particulate that were coming from the sky, and they said it covered this entire city like snow, which is pretty crazy to think about.
And the scientific theories generally say that that was probably the spider web type silk that these spiders, these colonies of spiders basically secrete and then they get so big that the wind carries them and they use it to migrate, which sounds plausible because I've actually seen one of the, not personally seen it, but I've actually seen clips of this, and it is pretty amazing, because when that silk gets big enough, it basically looks like a giant disco ball, because you get all these iridescent colors off of it, and it's pretty amazing. So, you know, I suggest people go to YouTube or, you know, Google and look for clips after the show, because like I said, I can definitely see how it could be mistaken for a UFO. But the thing that caught my attention in the article is that usually the spider silk is made up of things, you know, your general oxygen and hydrogen, but the stuff on this day, when they had it chemically analyzed, it was made of things like boron and silicon and calcium. So even though it looked very similar to the plausible scientific cause, the chemical composition was much different. So like I said, that makes me very curious to what this stuff actually was.
Yes, and I found the exact quote here. The article says, "Play was suspended because spectators saw something in the sky, according to the referee's match report." And there's some great pictures.
There's an airplane up in the sky. Sorry.
And there's some great pictures. There's pictures of the players all looking up towards the sky and pointing. Very grainy, because imagine this was 1954. You have a picture of the stadium there from that day. You have all the pictures of the newspapers from that day with a picture of the object. You can actually see the object. They got a picture of the object in the sky, and you can see it's very much egg-shaped. There's some artistic rendition, which is kind of funny, to make it look like, you know, all doomsday and apocalyptic.
Yeah, that definitely looks like the old 1950s UFO comic book type covers. Yes.
And then there is a sketch that someone at the stadium made, and it shows two objects. I don't know if that's just artistic license, but it shows the objects over the stadium and the people in the stands looking up. And then there's the picture of the angel hair, and then a picture of a scientist doing some tests of the angel hair, and where they said that, as you said, the makeup of this substance was not of anything that they've ever seen before.
Yeah, or the chemical composition was much different than what they would have thought. Because the other thing I find interesting about that, like the artist rendition, it looks vaguely like some of the medieval paintings that kind of have I forget the name of the painting, but there's some famous medieval painting that has basically what some UFO researchers claim are UFOs in the background.
Yes.
Yeah. So the artist is depict, and again, maybe that's where this guy, you know, got a little bit of inspiration from. But yeah, it looks vaguely like those things from those medieval paintings, which I find very interesting too.
Yes, and they got some pictures here of four of the players who were actually played in that match in current day. And obviously they're elderly these days, but there's some great quotes in here. So, yeah, it's a modern UFO sighting that was seen by 10,000 or more people. And then you have all this stuff. I mean, I don't think that spider stuff could cover an entire town, could it? I mean, the whole city was covered in this stuff. So it's... Yeah, it's a crazy story.
I'm not sure, because if it's some sort of, you know, if you want to get into like the scientific possibilities of like the locust plague in Egypt, you know, you have certain environmental factors that may cause some, you know, some sort of once in a lifetime event to where, you know, it looks like an act of God and it inspires this, you know, the story. So again, it's one of those. Statistically speaking, it shouldn't happen, but it did. What exactly was it? Who knows? You know, because like you said, nobody's ever seen, you know, these spider silk clouds, for the lack of a better word, to this extent. But, you know, was there some weird, you know, environmental factors that led to that? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, and I'll just read one more paragraph. This is interesting. I didn't catch this before. It says, so many reports of this sighting. So that's what makes it a pretty good sighting because so many different people saw it, and it focused around the soccer game because the objects were floating over it. And I know, Corey, you have some comments to make that we'll wrap up with, but one of the people saw this was Fiorentine newspaper, the late Giorgio Battini. In 2003, he told a Italian television program that on that day he was at the newspaper working, and he received hundreds of phone calls from the offices of in the town center of the newspaper. In his own view, the sky was blocked by the cathedral downtown. So he went up to the top of the newspaper building, and he saw what he said was shiny balls moving fast forward back and forth across the sky. So, you know, I tend to trust journalists, especially back then when they were actually trustworthy.
Yeah.
So I know you have a theory as to as why these objects may have been hovering over the soccer stadium.
Yeah, I think it was just an unannounced scouting report from an alien club called FC Zeta Reticuli. And they just decided not to move for the Fiorentina striker they were scouting because they realized humans only have two legs.
It was just an intergalactic scouting trip.
It's just two alien scouts just scouting out the local talent. That's it.
And these guys are about 60 or 70 years ahead of their time because remember, Sepp Blatter famously said that why not? We could have a World Cup on Mars someday.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. FC Zeta Reticuli was probably going to win that tournament. So
yeah, they would.
Yeah.
Especially at the threat of, I mean, who knows what type of minerals they're mining off other planets that could pay off FIFA for that fact.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to do a story of this movie, I have two titles ready to go. The Day Serie A Stood Still and Close Encounters in the Defensive Third Kind. Really bad puns.
Nice. I like that. So, yeah, so this is just a great story. It's something that I caught on to just last year. I've never heard of it before. And so we saved it for this Halloween because it's the anniversary tomorrow, the 27th. It's the 61st anniversary. And there's a lot of stuff out there on this. There's books about this. Go to 2daftyanks.com. And in the blog post for this podcast where it says the truth is out there, click on that and I'll get you to this BBC article. And from there, you should be able to find a lot of other resources. There's also a 10-minute BBC radio spot that they did on this as well that I listened to most of. So it's pretty interesting. So, yeah. So if you like the paranormal, this is where the paranormal meets soccer in a legit fashion.
Yeah. So at first we were coming for Adrian Derpham and Drive Time. Now we're coming for Mysterious Universe.
Well, I don't know if we can pull that off.
Yeah. No, they actually get people to pay $7 a month.
Yeah. So. Maybe Coast to Coast we could take out.
Oh, yeah. George Norrie's. Yeah.
Yeah. He's rubbish.
Yeah, he's League Cup. He's ten pot compared to Art Bell.
Yeah. All righty. So there we go. So we hope you enjoyed that. And again, check the blog if you want to read more. Maybe we're the only weird people out there who find this interesting, but I think a lot of people will find this interesting. So all right, let's wrap up the show with some funny Twitter banter that happened earlier today, Corey. A website at Top Drawer Soccer had a hilarious video that they posted, and you can see it again here. We'll link it. It's linked on our website in this blog post about the deer. There was a youth soccer practice going on somewhere. I don't know if they even mentioned, but there's film of this deer running around all these practice fields. And as it's going past the last practice field, there's a ball sitting, I don't know what, maybe 20 yards outside of the goal.
Yeah, it looked like it was just outside the box.
Oh, was it outside the box? Okay, I wasn't sure exactly. Anyway,
yeah, so 20 yards. Deer,
oh, outside the box. Yeah, not the six-yard box. Yeah, so just outside the box. And this deer goes cutting by, and he happens to catch the ball, and it goes straight into the goal.
Oh, so it didn't happen. It was planned. The first time shot. That's his move.
Yeah.
It was it was technically spectacular. He was looking at the kids. It's like, oi, this is how you do it. Runs on the field. Bam. There you go. Pick that one out. Boom. Straight off to the woods.
Yeah. So the deer is a new international soccer star. And there was all kinds of banter going on with people. It's pretty funny. So track that on Twitter. You can see us at 2DAFTYanks. We had a bunch of stuff. And I just want to highlight one of our guys who we like to talk to on Twitter had probably the best tweet. Let me see if I can find it. It's our
pretty funny.
It's our good friend Brian Benedict. He's over there in England. He is a soccer coach over there, I do believe, and he's a strength and conditioning coach. According to his profile, he was the strength and conditioning coach at one time for both USA ski team and the Japan ski team. So he's not some hack. But he says, if I could find it, I almost lost it. He's got a scouting report on the deer based off the video. All right, you ready?
Lay it on me.
All right. He says, scouting report, great pace, decent first touch, a bit aloof in the locker room, will have trouble adjusting to city life. Well, the deer.
That sounds about right. Yeah, a little skittish in front of big crowds, maybe send him out on loan for a while.
Yeah, get him used to it. I don't know. Are there any FIFA regulations against having four-legged animals on your team? I mean, is there anywhere in the rules that says that all 11 of your players have to be human?
I'm not quite sure, but yeah, he's definitely got a nice spring in the box. I mean, I'd sign him up.
Well, he's perfect for U.S. soccer because he's got, power and athleticism and speed.
Well, yeah, right. I would just sign him up because if he doesn't pan out, like I joked, you could always make sausage out of him. So if he has a bunch of howlers and you end up selling them on, you're getting sold as sausage in the morning.
Yeah, the deer.
So it's a no lose signing.
Yeah, and I joked that the deer has a 90% or the deer has a better first touch than 90% of the MLS players.
Oh, the deer's got better touch than me.
And then what's another one I came up with? Oh, and I said, we shouldn't. A lot of people are saying, call the deer up to the U.S. national team. And I said, hey, we don't know, A, where this footage was taken from. And the deer could, in fact, be Canadian. He could be a Canadian deer. It's possible. I don't know where he's born.
Call him up and play him now, because if I ever get that Cajun team started, he ain't going to last long.
Yeah,
he's going to get eaten. Because he's going to end up in somebody's plate.
All right, so there we go. So that will end the Halloween show with a little funny stuff, the deer. So you can check out the video of the deer. I think it's impressive.
Oh, it's a hell of a finish.
Yeah.
He freaking times it perfectly.
I mean, it really is funny. I've been laughing all day.
Yeah,
it's the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
I mean, shit, if Peter Crouch is Bambi on ice, there you go. There's Bambi on the field, and he's got a better touch than Peter Crouch.
So, yeah, we better stop this because we could go on all day. So thank you, everybody, for listening to this 2DAFTYanks podcast, this Halloween special. And, again, if you want to learn more about that UFO sighting, just go to the blog post, click on the article, and from there you'll be able to find loads of information on the web. And I do believe we have some outro music, Corey, that you picked out.
Oh, well, yeah.
Tell the good people about this outro music that we're about to play.
German metal band called Halloween with a song shockingly titled Halloween. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's just, I would have never thought a band named Halloween would have a song named Halloween.
All right. So, yeah. So thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to the boys at Low Limit for the good time yesterday. You can catch both of those podcasts on our website as we speak. You already know that if you've downloaded it because you're listening to it. So, jamming out to Halloween, playing Halloween. And everybody have a safe and happy Halloween. And we'll be back next week to break down another exciting weekend in Premier League football that perhaps could see Jose Mourinho get sacked, which is awesome.
Scenes when Mourinho and Sherwood sacked in the same week.
The This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at TwoDaftYanks.com or at TwoDaftYanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.